Hey, it's Joe Bunzarelli.
What up, guys? We're talking about The Mandalorian today. I got Bob with me, and we're doing Chapter 17,
The Apostate.
This is The Bunzarelli Show.
I forgot how, I don't know, how long has it been since the last one? Do you recall? It's been a while.
I almost think more than a year because I think like Boba Fett.
It's more than a year.
Yeah, I think Boba Fett
ended a little while ago.
Yeah, Boba took that year in between, I think. I think Boba was like last summer. And then.
Yes.
So I think Boba was the. Yeah, Boba was like the in between. And we got like a little dip into Din Djarin. I got some things about Boba Fett that kind of fall into this too. But yeah, it's been a while. And
it's been a while, so I actually went back because I wanted to because I forgot how it ended. So I went back, I skimmed through some Boba and enjoyed both of them. And I tell you, this first episode, it laid the groundwork for this season real well, because
yes.
It was going into it, it's like, okay, well, what's it going to be about? And it came off the heels of the last one, the whole thing where he wants to, I forget his words, how he says atone. How do I atone? Which was, I think, the name of the episode too, right?
He was the apostate.
Oh, apostate. Yeah, that's right. But he says, how do I atone for taking off the mask? Which, what a dumb thing that he has to atone for that when every other Mandalorian hasn't been wearing a mask.
Yeah. Nobody cares about that little sect. Yeah.
it's just him and the one blacksmith that seems to make all the decisions for some reason that care about wearing this mask. But that little gripe aside, which shows his devotion to it. But I like how this episode's going, not just the storyline of where it's going to be. And this might just be the first couple episodes. It might not be the whole season. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But where it's him finding the old Mandalore, the planet or the place Mandalore, and finding the well and all that stuff. But it's that, but I also see that, oh, okay, they're going to dip in to a lot of history.
Yes.
Of the Mandalore now, which is going to be awesome. That's going to be very interesting. It makes it Mandalorian and not just, oh, what new quest is Mando and Boba going to get into? Who are they going to fight this time?
Yeah.
It's no, we're going to actually get to see some history about it. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited for that, because it was something that I didn't think so much I wanted to see, but the whole religion of Mandalorian or however they say it is very interesting. And I think that's where this season is going to be. If it's not the primary story, it's definitely going to be getting into it.
Yeah. You know, you brought up the, it's funny. I didn't think about it till you said it. You brought up like, well, the other Mandalorians take their helmet off, and the way they kind of like, to jump ahead real quick, the way they set it up with Bo-Katan, because we knew from the trailer Bo-Katan was going to be in the show. And my whole thing was like, well, why just hang out with Bo-Katan and her crew? But since that's apparently broken up too, so it's like he's got no place to go anyway, which is probably part of the him getting the Mandalorians together, if that's where the season's going. But they kind of like knocked that out. Like there's not even an easy answer with Bo-Katan. Like there's a bunch of Mandalorians there he can hang out with.
Bo-Katan is the
Katee Sackhoff
that tried to take over the thing.
Yeah,
he ran into the
redhead that was at the end of the show. That was
she was sitting in the throne in Thor's chair. From it looked like his planet, right?
Yes.
Apparently she's guarding Thor's Majoran or whatever it's called.
Mjolnir. Yeah.
So now the one thing I want to know, and I need to see a prequel for this, was she sitting in the throne waiting for him for days? There's no, you know, at least like Boba, when he took over the throne, he was surrounded by people.
Yeah, it was stuff moving and shaking.
Somebody on chains.
He's taking baths.
Bringing drinks over to him. He's taking baths. He was sitting there playing songs. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
But she's got this throne, and she's just sitting in this chair
empty
made of stone,
throne,
which cannot be comfortable.
Yeah.
Cannot be comfortable at all. And she's just waiting for this guy to show up. Thank God he did.
Yeah, her day would have been like, and then he left, and she just sat there. Of course, Katie Sackhoff, being from the cartoons, and she's one of the few that actually voiced a character that, and they translated her to live action, like after the cartoon.
That's so cool.
Yeah, kind of like
so cool how that worked out, that she was someone fit and young enough who could play the role that she was voicing.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like it worked out really cool because she's perfect for the role in person, and I never seen the cartoon. But you know, I know it was a hit, so obviously she did okay there.
Well,
it's pretty cool. You never hear of that.
They do a good job about making it that you don't have to know everything. Like you thought Cad Bane was badass.
Now maybe I should watch the cartoon because of Bane. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Cad Bane.
Cartoon. Oh man, is it the same voice for him?
Yeah, he's the cartoon voice actor, and they went like Boba Fett is a killer. Yeah, same guy. He's the cartoon actor. That's what brought him to life. So we get to Navarro, and we got the statue of IG-11.
Oh yeah.
Who, of course, if you remember,
that was cool.
He was voiced by Taika Waititi, and then
I forgot that, or I missed that.
Yeah. Well, because Taika Waititi will do a voice, and you'll have no idea it's him. Like, he does Korg in Thor. You know what I mean? He just spits out.
That I do. But yeah. Let me ask you a question now, because before I forget.
Yeah.
So, it was cool, and it was cool they showed that in a recap, because even skimming through the episodes, I didn't see that character, and I forgot about him.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me when I seen him, or I remembered that he was real cool, and that Mando wasn't a huge fan and he turned him around. But I forget, and this is a little off track, but it's still Mandalorian. Was Mandalorian the one that had the problem with droids, and that character was the one that turned him around to that? Am I getting two shows mixed up? But there was one character who had a big problem with droids,
yeah.
And I don't remember what the outcome of that storyline was.
No, it was Mando because
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it was Mando because I think he was like getting attacked by like the last remnants of whatever droids from the Clone Wars, and then he got rescued by his Mandalorian sect. And I know he was standoffish with IG-88, but then they started to hint that he was getting softer after the IG-88 thing. Like,
yeah,
he was really nasty with the pit droids, but that one girl, I can't remember, but then like he,
yeah, the one one comic girl,
yeah, that fixes his stuff. Yeah,
yeah, she's funny. Oh, I watched the sorry, I know I'm all over the place.
Oh, that's
one
okay.
of the ones I rewatched was I think it was the last episode of Boba when she appears in
yeah.
the little cart and,
yeah.
and drives them off, and she leaves screaming. And it was like the comic relief
yeah.
in the middle of a big battle, but it was like perfectly done. Like
Star just Wars enough
style.
Yeah.
Where it was like Muppets and hilariousness coming in and, you know, making you laugh in the middle of this like epic battle.
Yeah.
It was like, it fit perfectly. It was so funny.
I'm sure we'll see her again too.
Yeah.
Oh, so IG-88. So they're gonna. There looks like that's what they're going.
Bringing him back
to bring him back. Did you recognize the little aliens that were working on him?
Gremlins. I thought they were maybe gremlins.
There it's from
about getting water on them.
The Rise of Skywalker. If you remember the alien that was I had his name, but I lost it. Oh, Babu Freak, the alien that was wiring C-3PO. And he goes, hey! Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was that kind of creature. But it's cool because what these guys do really good, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, it's like they say you got to take the good with the bad. So whatever you thought about those sequels, it's like, well, this stuff exists now, so we're going to work with it, you know? So
yeah, you know, and I'm past I mean, it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
But still, but it's the shows that did it. Because we did start the shows to where it was like, you know, oh, well, there's all this crap from the first three movies. But I think that especially what really did it was the one with Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
The show Obi-Wan that really did it to where any grief I've ever had with the first movies is completely gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Anything I had, and all stupid petty stuff, like, oh, it's too much CGI or too much this, the storyline was true to the movies and to, like, the series and the shows and the world or whatever, however you phrase it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like the little, the petty stuff faded over time.
Yeah.
You know, so them referring to those, I'm all for.
Yeah. Well, these guys are from the sequels, from the Ray, Finn and Poe stuff. But
yeah, and those were all very good.
Yeah, I thought they were all good. But people say, you know, have their complaints about those too. But I, you know, I've talked about it before. It's like that's somebody else's first Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like there's little girls that dress up like Rey, and that's their Star Wars. And
how those cool
will,
is that?
Yeah, and those will age well. Those are going to mean more to that generation, and it's all going to meld together. So if this show recognizes, it has to recognize that stuff happened. Like in Boba Fett, they show Luke building the temple that Kylo Ren will end up destroying. You know what I mean? They're like, this stuff's coming. We're not going to pretend it's not coming. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I was watching Luke in one of the previous shows when I was rewatching, and I tell you, it made me think, especially because after seeing, because one of my beef with the new movies would probably be Mark Hamill,
whole
thing, like what they showed him, how they showed him as the older Luke, I just did not like it at all,
and nobody did.
nobody did. I don't like how they showed this character. I didn't like anything about it.
Yeah.
So it made me when I seen in recapping. I forget if it was Boba or Mandalorian, where Luke was training
Grogu.
And when I was seeing Luke, you know, the CGI or whatever version of Luke, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, you know what? You could put another actor. We've talked about this before, so forgive me. But you could put another actor in this role, and it's better than, you know. I mean, we've seen like, okay, you grab Mark Hamill, and you could put him back in Luke, and we've seen what that did. You could take another actor and make him Luke.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with it. I'm completely fine with it because the character Luke Skywalker, there's more to his character there's more Luke than there is Mark Hamill. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't need Mark Hamill to see Luke. They gave me a CGI Luke, and CGI Luke was Luke Skywalker. That was full on Luke Skywalker in the shows, which amazing that TV shows. I mean, it's cable, I guess, TV is what you call it, or streaming.
Yeah.
But amazing the level of quality to where they brought back that character so well.
And it's still nice that Mark gets to be involved with that, too. You know, whether they – but, I mean, it's cool, too, that he could pass the torch to somebody else, and it's possible. Like, we talked about the voice, you know, I don't even think we toyed around it when we were talking about Vader and Obi-Wan, but you know how they did Mark Hamill's
merging of the voice.
Yeah. But they did Mark Hamill. Like they brought his voice back totally through re-speecher, like using, different digital, all the recordings they have of Mark. They did the same thing with Vader. That's why it's, even though it says James Earl Jones in the credits, he signed his voice. So that's why Vader sounded so good, because in Rogue One, you could really hear the age in his voice. But here he sounded like, and it's, you know, how they did that mixing the effects and stuff with Anakin, too. But pretty much they got Vader forever now because of that re-speech technology, and they could do it. What I'm saying is, it's nice having Mark around now, but Mark doesn't always have to do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they could do it without him.
Yeah. It's not that I mind. It's not that I minded him, but it just shows you like, okay, we could, you know, you could separate the character from the actor, and it's like, you know, help pet, like you said, pass the torch.
Have you seen the trailers for Indiana Jones?
No.
Oh, okay. New Indiana Jones movie. They de-aged Harrison Ford. They do like...
the whole movie?
No. They have... he's old Indiana Jones, but they do flashbacks where he's young Indiana Jones, okay?
Gotcha.
And he looks really good. And he's saying, oh, yeah, they got tons of footage from me that time between Indiana Jones and
he does so many movies.
But they already did it in Indiana Jones. So it's the same company.
Oh,
yeah.
That's where we're going.
Yeah. So that is very possible, especially with Boba Fett floating around. You got some cool stuff there. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm just throwing it out.
I was watching that when they landed on the planet and seen the guy where he kept correcting him. I says, no, I'm the high something.
Oh, the high magistrate, Greef Karga. Yeah.
Yeah, when I seen him, I'm like, wait a minute, I know that actor. And then I had to do the math. I was like, wait, which era are we in? And I do this all the time. I'm terrible with these shows to where I forget. We're between the 70s movies and the new movies, correct?
Yeah,
between,
but it's more towards
six and a half. We're six and a half right now.
Yeah, because I believe, if I remember correctly, I got nothing in front of me, but I believe The Mandalorian was supposed to be 7 years, like the first season was supposed to be set 7 years after Return of the Jedi. So even if I'm a little off, it's got to be 7 or 10. That's why Mark Hamill
and he met young Luke. So yeah. He's that old. So he's got to still be that time. So there's young Luke, there's young Princess Leia.
Yeah.
And there's young Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Floating around there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So yeah. That might be. Yeah. Cause we didn't even get there yet. That's getting ahead. It's who's going to be the big, what's going to be the big, it's not going to be the last episode. It's always the second or third to last episode where you just get thrown like a huge Star Wars cameo.
Yeah, they're going to pull something. You know? They're going to do that one, like the moment that something. Everybody's reacting to and blows you away. Yeah, that's coming.
Yeah. they do these shows so good. You know what they did good too?
Yeah.
It was really true to Star Wars was the whole space.
Yes, fight. And that's what Boba Fett was missing. It was missing space stuff. If you had to say what
it was a whole fight where I'm watching an old Star Wars movie. This is awesome.
Yeah. And
it was just as good. And it's crazy because even though it's a show, it's not a movie, but it's a show in 2023 versus 1979.
Yeah.
So they have better technology with the show budget than the movie budget had. So you're watching a space fight that's just as cool or more cool.
I will. Now you're bringing up. This was bugging me. It was just bugging me a little bit. The pirate that was initially chasing him, that initially had the showdown with Greef Karga, the first pirate you see that's taking the lead, looked awesome. He looked awesome. He was talking awesome. The actor was awesome.
The face.
Like, I thought he was better done than Cad Bane just because he looked natural. Like, he looked like a person. He looked awesome. Awesome.
Cad Bane was all voice and all just stoic.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy really looked like an alien talking to you.
Yes. And then, but he was awesome. And then when they show you the captain, I don't know, the captain was just a real downgrade. I was like, oh, the captain looks like.
I thought the same thing.
I was like, really?
I was like, oh, we got a swamp monster that we just pulled out of nowhere.
No, I wish like that guy was the captain. Generally, it was so much cooler. The captain sucked, dude.
Agree, 100%. Because it then fit. Like he's got like moss hanging off him, like he just came out of the sea, but he's on like this pristine ship.
He looked like he was a Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. And I know, and that happens a lot in the shows, and it happened a lot in the movies too. To where, because it's, you know, it's hard, like, okay, you have Chewbacca. Chewbacca.
I know
you have him.
Yeah.
Who's the epitome of awesome.
Oh, Chrisanton.
A Muppet.
Yeah.
Chrisanton.
Yeah.
You have, like, the epitome of awesome with him. But then you get your occasional guy with, like, the squid-looking guy.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, all right, I'm just looking at plastic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just... And you just kind of got to wave it off, you know, like if I'm going to nitpick. But yeah, I definitely seen that.
Yeah.
And it sucks because it takes you out of the moment.
Well, not even
it was
like
a very cool fight. And then all of a sudden I see this guy and I'm like, this swamp monster in this like, pristine room.
And they do it all the time where they show.
I just wasn't buying it.
Yeah. And they show you crappy looking aliens and good looking aliens. I'm just saying the captain was a real downgrade from the first mate. You know what I'm saying? Like
just make him another one of that species.
Yeah.
You just made him a different dude.
Or switch to places and make the green thing the first mate. And that other guy should have been the captain because he was awesome.
Yeah. Have the green guy should have been one of the guys on land doing fighting. And then, I agree.
Isn't the worst thing, but it's another seed they planted. Like, here's another thing going on. So they said, you got three things going on. You got the IG-88 storyline. You got Mando's quest, because that IG-88 thing ain't over. And these pirates are going to show up again. All right?
And they got a vengeance. So it isn't just they got away from them. Now they're after them.
Yes.
So now we have our battle. Now we have a reason for him to call for help.
Yeah. And they write that stuff good where it all circles back. You know what I mean? Where it's going to come back into play. Here's what.
Favreau's still involved?
Oh, yeah. Favreau's really involved. Dave Filoni probably a little less because he's probably working on Ahsoka because that's like he's taking that over because, you know, he was so closely with the Clone Wars and everything. But
yeah,
Favreau writes every episode. In fact, there was an article released that Favreau already wrote season 4. Because he's like, yeah, I know where the story's going, which is nice to know. You know, he's not just like playing it by ear.
I figured he would have wrote Boba after it. Because I kind of think of them as like one show.
Well, here's my thing with Boba Fett. Because I did want to, especially because you and me did Boba, and, you know, we really enjoyed it. And whatever the feedback of it is, you know, what wasn't as good as The Mandalorian, Boba Fett should have been better, whatever.
Was that the feedback
that it wasn't as good? From some people. I mean, the internet, you know what I mean? Who knows? Everybody freaking watched it.
Sometimes it's just the headline that catches your attention, but
yeah,
like,
maybe.
Like, I wish, like, it's hard to find, like, all right, that article said a negative thing, but what was the group consensus?
Okay.
Like, you gotta check like Wikipedia for that.
Let me make it even consensus. Let me even make it simpler. We're like Mandalorian is a lot more exciting off the first episode than Boba Fett was. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, whoa, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With Boba Fett, you're like, where you go?
You're right.
Yeah, but yeah, here's the thing.
Right. And I did prefer
Mandalorian to Boba Fett.
I like them both.
Well, I'm not saying one guy versus the other. I'm saying the show.
Yeah.
But I think it served its purpose because it explored Boba Fett because you can't explore Boba Fett in The Mandalorian. It's The Mandalorian show. So it's like you go off this little side road, you explore Boba Fett. But here's the thing that's cool. Now I want to see Boba Fett come back in The Mandalorian. I want to see Boba again. And then this time, the same way when Mando showed up in Boba, you're like, yes! Like, Boba's going to come in with his big scene and everything. And now you don't have to answer any. The cool thing is we don't have to answer any questions about Boba. We answered all the questions. Why? Where is he at in his head? Why is he like this? How did he get out of the Sarlacc pit? It was like we took this little side road to give him this little spotlight. Now he's back because I do like the Boba and Mando together. And there was actually
For sure.
Yeah,
you gotta get that dialogue going because he's not.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a mask on the whole time. He's only talking he's not talking a whole lot.
Yeah.
So you needed having Boba to bounce stuff off of.
Yeah. And then even when like, and here's the other cool thing I'm realizing that once again, I think of these things, I say things to you. It's like whatever, like even when it comes to like the different factions of Mandalorians, Boba's just ride or die with Din Djarin. So Boba's just going to go along with Din Djarin and be like, oh, these guys are stupid. Oh, these guys are stupid too. Well, whatever you need. You know, it's going to be like that. But did I kind of look into it? But there was a cover. It was like Entertainment Weekly because they were doing the press to promote The Mandalorian. And there's a picture of like a bunch of Mandalorian helmets like kind of lined up kind of thing. But one of them, you see the dent and it's like, oh, it's Boba. So I'm pretty sure Boba's come, but whether that was just for promotional, whatever, but it's nice to bring what I think Boba's.
He'll be there for sure.
And when he comes back,
people are gonna riot if he's not.
Yeah. But when he comes back, we're going to be like ready to see him the same way. When we saw Din Djarin and Boba Fett, we're like, yes, Boba's back. And then he'll be flying a ship again, which, you know, he didn't do much in his show because he was on ground the whole time, but we'll see him flying a ship. You know, it's going
to
be good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it don't need much to get him. Cause like you said, he'll do anything for him. And I just rewatched that whole interaction between the two of them.
Yeah.
And the whole time Boba's like, hey, you've paid me back. You did what you said you were going to do. You don't have to go. And he's like, no, I'm here. I'm here till the end.
Yeah.
I fall with you. And like, they're talking like we're dying, but he's like, I'm doing it. That's the way. So, you know, that, Mando's in trouble. Like somebody takes Grogu. He makes a phone call and you know, Boba's there.
Yeah. Or he's just trying to put together an army to do whatever he's doing. And he goes, and he gets Boba, and then he gets Blacker Sant and comes back, you know what I'm saying? And then, Fennec Shand, all those characters and stuff. Like, hey, the whole gang's back. We got Luke floating around there. I'm sure Ahsoka's probably going to stop by. You know, but definitely a good start to everything. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the show and I'm looking forward to doing it more. But, Bob, thanks for being here.
Yeah, buddy.
And we'll see you guys.